السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We are recording and we are talking about the Ayat al-Kursi, Royal Chair of Allah has Shafa'ah, which is called Man the Alladhi Yashfa'u. This is what we're after. عنده إلا بإذن. And the word we're after is Yashfa'u. Yashfa'u is the shafa'ah, coming from shafa'ah. So we need to know what shafa'ah is, right? So when you read Ayat al-Kursi, man the ladhi yashfa'u indahu illa bi'idhnih, then you know the word yashfa', what does it mean? So you don't just like a parrot, it's like repeating man the ladhi yashfa'u indahu illa bi'idhnih without understanding, okay? So shafa'ah basically is to ask Allah. I mean, there are two kinds of shafa'ah. Shafa'ah between people, like if you're President Obama, and I want to be promoted. Okay. So, you're President Obama, I want to be promoted, and you are a friend of President Obama and friend of me, right? So he's my friend and friend of President Obama. But I'm not President Obama's friend, right? So I want to say, okay, can you do shafa'ah to President Obama to promote me? Can you go and make shafa'ah to President Obama so that I can get promoted to promote me? You understand? How? Huh? You understand? So another example. Like you are the CEO of a company, like the chief of a company. And you are his friend and my friend. But I'm not friend with the chief. So I'm not friend with the chief. So what happens is that I go to you and say, can you please make shafa'ah so that I get promoted? Make shafa'ah to this guy so I get promoted. Do you understand what shafa'ah is? Okay. That's the meaning of the shafa'ah from a language point of view. Here's the markers. This is the meaning of shafa'ah. Today we're going to talk about one specific shafa'ah, which is shafa'ah of Allah. Shafa'ah in the Day of Judgment. Shafa'ah in the Day of Judgment. Shafa'ah in the Day of Judgment. One is shafa'ah by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shafa'ah by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? Prophet Muhammad does shafa'ah, which is to, in the Day of Judgment, Prophet Muhammad will go and meet Allah and ask, beg of Allah to do something that is going to relieve us from the pain in shafa'ah. There is something called al-maqam al-mahmud. Something called what? Al-maqam al-mahmud. Maqam al-mahmud is a special status for Prophet Muhammad in the Day of Judgment. What is that story? The story would be, is that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the beginning of the Day of Judgment, Allah would be so angry at people, that He doesn't want to start the judgment. Allah so what? Angry. So at the beginning of the Day of Judgment, Allah would be extremely angry. He doesn't want to start the judgment. Why was He angry? Because of the corruption and the bad deeds. He would be angry at the people who killed and the people who did injustice and the people who raped and the people who did crimes. You know how many millions of people died in the previous centuries? Century? Just like the previous century? 176 million died in World War I, World War II, and 72 major wars, and communism, and all of this, and the Holocaust, and all of these things. Okay? So that's only in one century. So just imagine those people are meeting Allah. Allah's so angry at them, that Allah doesn't want to start the judgment. And people are waiting. People are waiting. Waiting in what? Waiting in sweat.
Yay, he's here. Congratulations.
So people will be what? Huh? People will be what? In the day of judgment, waiting. Allah doesn't want to start the day of judgment. So he keeps people what?
Waiting.
Waiting. Now, people will be waiting. Is it going to be comfortable?
No.
No. People will be...
uncomfortable.
People will be... Tight gathering. You know, tight gathering? When you gather a lot of people in a limited space, which is very tight. Very tight gathering. And this very tight gathering, you have sweat.
Yeah.
And this sweat... okay, covers the foot, okay, for good people. Like sweats, different people have different level of sweats. Like bad guys will have sweat covering them all. Good guys, they have different levels of sweat. Like very good guys, they have a sweat just covering the feet. Little bit worse, it's covering the knee. Little worse, or like worse, it's covering the waist, up to the waist. Worse, chest. Worse, covering the head. So covering the head. So the head, the chest, the thighs and the knees and the feet. Go ahead.
Isn't another reason they sweat because the sun is really close to them that day?
Exactly, because the sun is about a mile away. The sun would be about a mile away.
Whoa.
Okay, and people will be sweating. Now, some people, good people, are not going to be sweating at all. Okay, like the prophets and the martyrs and those kind of people will not be sweat at all. Will not be sweating at all. They will be like working in, like living in a dry area or staying in a dry area. And many other people will be under the shadow of the. Of the throne of Allah. The royal throne has a shadow. Some people would be waiting in this shadow, which is a very, very nice, cool, wonderful area. Some people would be there, just waiting for Jannah to open so that they can go to Jannah. So they are being hosted under the royal throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You got that? So people will have different status. Huh. Some people are what? The sun will be how long? How far away? A mile. Some people, depending on the deeds, some people will have no sweat at all. Some people will have what?
Sweat up to their head.
Up to the head. Okay, so it goes like sweat up to the feet, and then sweat up to the
waist.
Knee, and then waist, and then chest, and then shoulders, and then head, and then covered completely with the sweat, drowning in the sweat. Okay? The gathering, is it tight or not tight?
Tight.
Do you have space? No, you're being tightly gathered with people like you, your kind.
Maybe you'll be, when you go to a Mecca and they try to cut the black stone,
yeah,
it's so tight.
So tight. Now, it's going to be in the Day of Judgment, it's going to be worse than that. Now, some kind of people will be under the throne of Allah, under the shadow of the throne of Allah. Okay? They will be under the shadow, under the throne of Allah, meaning in the area where the shadow of the throne of Allah, which is hosted there, which is going to be comfortable or not comfortable?
Not comfortable.
Under the throne of Allah, the royal throne of Allah, under the shadow, in the shadow, covered by the shadow of the throne of Allah. This would be comfortable or not?
Comfortable.
Comfortable. Okay. And What are the seven categories of people who wait under the throne of Allah or be hosted in the shadow which is under the throne of Allah? Seven category of people. Who remembers them?
People that give money, so that they give money from their right hand and their left hand doesn't notice.
Yes. People who give secret charity. Secret charity to the level that it is so secret that to the level that their left hand will not know how much their right hand have spent. This is just a metaphor. You understand a metaphor is?
Yeah.
So it's a metaphor saying that, okay, you are going to spend the charity so secretly to the level that your left hand will not know how much your right hand have spent. Is that metaphor or literally?
Metaphor.
Okay. So that is this is one kind. So what is another kind? So we have seven kinds of people or seven categories. So what's the second one? Okay. Imam Adil. Imam Adil means a just ruler. A ruler who has been just and fair. This is Imam Adil. And those are the ones who get saved. And the rulers in the Day of Judgment are going to be in big, huge trouble. Usually, the rulers and kings in the Day of Judgment will be in a very, very big trouble. Why? Because they have so much responsibility. So much responsibility. Right? And they are responsible of everything that they have ruled. Okay? They are responsible. So, the rulers in the Day of Judgment have an easy judgment or a terrible judgment. Rulers and kings. Was easy or tough judgment? It's tough judgment. Why? Because they have so much responsibility to be accounted for. So Allah is accounting them for their responsibility. Except the fair rulers. The fair just rulers would be where? Would be in trouble?
No.
They would be under the throne of? Under the royal throne of Allah in this shadow area, which is cute, nice area. So we said, a guy who gives a charity so secretly that his left hand doesn't know what his right hand has spent. And the second category of people is just rulers. Okay? Now, the third kind are youth. A youth who grew up in obedience of Allah. A youth who grew up taking Islam seriously and obeying Allah and staying away from goofing. Why? So the young people usually, young people like your age or later, they usually goof around and don't take Islam seriously. Huh? Because they're so young, and young people, their brains are not...
you know, the little kids you see running around the warehouse sometimes, that kind of thing. They don't have any home.
Yeah, but we are talking about your age, which is youth. Your age,
oh,
Zaina.
Our age. Okay,
and your age, guys. Okay, who's taking Islam seriously? I mean, I don't need to see hands, but just think about it. Am I taking Islam seriously or like just not very serious about it? Huh? Okay, and did I disobey Allah? Am I disobeying Allah, or I'm staying away from disobeying Allah? So a young youth, a person who spent his youth taking Islam seriously, doing the do's and not doing the don'ts, taking Islam seriously and staying away from disobeying Allah. Okay? That's the second category. So you have a chance now, I'm telling you. You have a chance. It's your age.
Alaykum as-salam. Teacher, appreciation class. So would you like me to ask
him off?
Huh? It's the same one. Would you like me to pass him off?
Huh?
It's the same teacher appreciation class from last week. Would you like me to pass them off?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So you guys know what to do with these, right? Yeah.
not kids, you.
Yes,
yeah,
so those can be teens, that's why I had a explanation.
After puberty.
Okay, that's okay.
I'm
going to
leave the bag in the middle and
we'll
be ready to
get in
here. I'll come back.
Thank you. Sure, no problem. Okay, so we're not going to spend an hour on this. Just like I give you just 1 minute. Just write what you want to write quickly. Would have very difficult accountability.
Oh, okay, so.
And the day of judgment, because they have so much responsibility.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Now, the just ruler. And then the just ruler. Second kind is just ruler. Hold on.
We just continue from here, I guess.
We say just rulers, number two. Just rulers, and then rulers.
Okay.
Hold on, it's easy for you.
Okay, so we're
going to
start with.
Hi guys, remember what the teacher said, no more than 1 minute at least, okay?
Yeah,
we will.
Okay, we can just write it. All right, time is out. Time is out, okay, time is out. Okay, so now, this ruler is just so he's just covered. Okay. Youth, after puberty, usually youth are goofing around. Usually youth are goofing around after puberty, okay? And usually they don't take Islam seriously, right? Usually. However, those categories, like these, your chance right now, if you take Islam seriously, do the do's, stay away from the don'ts, right now, you are going to be under the throne of the royal throne of Allah, enjoying the shadow under the throne, royal throne of Allah. Do you understand this? It's like a very cool, nice, like kind of AC area, okay? Air-conditioned area. It's really cool and nice under the throne of under the royal throne of Allah. Shadow, very big shadow area. So if you are a youth who took Islam seriously, and who do the do's and stay away from the don'ts, you go there.
Is it spacious over there?
Oh, yeah. No tight gathering, no nothing like that. This is a very nice, special place.
Remember, I think it was the Kursi, right? It mentions that the throne of Allah went from all the way from heaven to the...
Yeah, that's the chair. But we're even bigger than the chair, which is the throne. Mm-hmm. Throne of Allah. Okay. Now, what is the kind? The third kind, a person, a youth, a young person who is invited for a date. Who is invited to date a very beautiful, charming princess. If you're invited to date very beautiful, charming princess, and you say, no, I fear Allah. I'm not going to date you because I fear Allah. Okay, so a beautiful influential woman, okay, invites you for a date, and you say what?
No.
No, I fear Allah. You understand that? You see how hard it is to do that? Then if you say no, then you are there. Another category is a guy, a person, his or her heart attached to the masjid. A person, his or her heart attached to where?
Masjid.
So, meaning what? Your heart. So it's like when you leave the masjid, it's like fish going out of water. When you leave the masjid, you're so you're looking forward to come back. So you like being in the masjid. You love being in the masjid, and you like being in the masjid. That's another category. Okay. Another category are people who loved each other for the sake of Allah. Loved each other for the sake of Allah. And they will be separated to do just, they will be separated, they will leave each other, like not be in the company of each other, because they go and do good deeds. So let me make an example. He's like, I love him for the sake of Allah, he loves me for the sake of Allah. Meaning what? I love him because he's rich? No. I love him because he's famous? Yeah. No. I love him because he is a good guy who taking Islam seriously. Okay? And then he loves me back. Why? Because I'm a good guy taking Islam seriously. So we love each other just for the sake of being good guys, loving, taking Islam seriously. When we get together, we do something, we obey, do something that has obedience of Allah. So when we get together, we read Quran, we go out helping people, we go out giving away, giving, distributing charities and things like that. But, okay, so when we are together, we are doing something for the sake of Allah. When we are not together, we are doing something for the sake of Allah. You understand? Do you get that? So those people who loved each other just for the sake of Allah, gathered together to worship Allah, split away from each other to also worship Allah, like to do charity or something like that. We have three left.
Two left.
Yeah, three left.
Yeah.
Two left.
Have
two?
Yeah. So, I think so. Yeah, because people who secretly give charity, just rulers, youth that take Islam seriously, people who have the heart attacks in the masjid, and people love each other for the sake of Allah. So thank you.
Okay. So, number six. Did you say about the invited for a date?
No, I'll add that though.
So, you didn't do
think
this?
About, I'm going to add it.
No, that's a different category.
Oh, right? Different category? Okay. Yeah.
So, those who are invited to date by by influential, beautiful woman and say, no, we fear Allah. Okay, so I have one left. So I'm just going to hold on to this one until I get it. Huh? Yes. So, who are those seven categories of people? They are given to be the ones who enjoy what? Huh? Enjoy what? Enjoy in the day of judgment. Enjoy what in the day of judgment?
Shade.
Shade. Under Allah's throne. Royal throne of Allah. Huh? Come here. Okay? All right. So other people will be gathered tightly and they will be with sweat, sweating either to the bottom of their feet or all the way up to covering their. Why is that? Allah so? Why Allah doesn't start the day of judgment? Because Allah what? I'm sorry. Why didn't Allah want to start judging? Because he's so angry, right? He's so angry at people that he doesn't want to start. So now people get so tired, and they want to move on. They want Allah to start the judgment so that they move on. Okay, they can't, I mean, they are so They are so tired of this situation. So that is the first shafa'ah, the situation of the first shafa'ah. The people are going to gather together in a group, and then they go to Prophet Adam. They go to Prophet Adam and tell him, oh, our grandfather Adam, Allah has created you with his own hands. Can you go and beg of Allah to start the day of judgment? So Prophet Adam says, what? No. I can't. Why? Because I disobeyed Allah. I ate from the forbidden tree. So I can't. So they go to Prophet Nuh. And they say, oh, you Prophet Nuh, you were so patient with your people. And you spent 950 people.
Years.
Not, I'm sorry, 950 years. Okay? Making da'wah. 950 years making da'wah. You know, how do you know that the person is taking Islam seriously? I can tell from the class that those people are interested into learning Islam, interested into learning about Islam, interested into prayer. Okay? Those people are the ones, the youth. Hmm? Huh? Yes, Prophet Nuh. So now, Prophet Nuh is saying, oh, no, I pray to Allah to destroy my people. So after 950 years, he's still worried that he'd pray to Allah to destroy his people. You know, Prophet Muhammad, Prophet Nuh, at the very end, he said, Ya Allah, destroy all the bulls, all the bad guys.
Yeah.
Okay, so now they go to Prophet Nuh, they go to Prophet Ibrahim. So Prophet Ibrahim says, no. I wasn't saying the truth when I said, the big one did it. Or like I used the trick when I say the big one did it. The big one did what? Destroy the idols. That's right. So, okay, taking Islam seriously, to be among those guys, taking Islam seriously, start by being interested into the Islamic knowledge, okay? All right. Then comes after that, they will go to Prophet Isa.
I think they go to Musa.
Yes, mashallah, got to Prophet Musa. So Prophet Musa will say, no, I wouldn't dare doing it because I've killed a person. Then they go to Prophet Isa. Like when they go to Prophet Nuh. Okay, when they go to Prophet Ibrahim, which is after Prophet Nuh, they say, you are the friend of Allah. So he says, yeah, but I don't dare because of the finger story. Then they go to Prophet Musa. They say, you are the one Allah has talked to. Only one that Allah talked to. He says, yeah, but I don't dare because I have killed the person. Taking Islam seriously, interested into the knowledge of Islam, righteous youth, shadow of the under the royal chair of under the royal throne of Allah, if you're interested. Okay? Alright. Okay, if you're also interested. Okay, so now they go to Prophet Isa and they say, you are the one that Allah has created without a father. You are the spirit of Allah, created without a father. Can you please go beg of Allah? He said, hold on guys. Why don't you go to the one who was promised this status, which is called the status of Mahmud. Do you have a friend called Mahmud?
No.
But you know Mahmud is the name of a person, right? Mahmud's status is what? Huh? Mahmud's status is the status of the person who's going to go ask Allah to start the judgment. So the Prophet Muhammad will go and make shafa'ah, ask Allah to start the day of judgment. You got it? Then Allah will accept his prayers and accept his shafa'ah and start the judgment so that people move on to the next step. Do you understand? Okay. So that's called the big shafa'ah. Okay. There is another shafa'ah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do, which is make shafa'ah for people of Jannah to go to Jannah. Make shafa'ah to open the doors of Jannah for people to come in. So the people who come in to Jannah, they are not going to be able to go to Jannah before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make shafa'ah for the Jannah, for the doors of Jannah to open. So any other person would go ask Allah, ask the angel, the guardians of Jannah, ask them, would you please open the door for us? The people will say, the guardians will say no. Because Prophet Muhammad was the first one that to enter Jannah. So it has to be the, he has to make shafa'ah for the doors of Jannah to open so that good guys can go into Jannah. That's the second shafa'ah. Third shafa'ah is shafa'ah of Prophet Muhammad to his uncle Abu Talib. Uncle Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet, did he die as a Muslim or an idol, a pagan?
Pagan.
And we know that pagans are not going to smell heaven at all. Okay? Not going to smell heaven at all. I'm not saying they're not going to enter heaven. No, they're not going to smell heaven. And heaven, the smell of heaven, which is like very, very nice smell, can be smelled from very far away. Those guys will not even smell the heavens, which means that they are very, very, very far away from heaven. So now, the least one being punished in the hellfire is the uncle of the Prophet. Because the Prophet is making shafa'ah to him. Shafa'ah to him, okay, he is going to ask Allah to reduce the punishment. So his punishment becomes wearing a shoes from hellfire. And this shoe is so hot that it's causing his brain to boil. You understand?
Yeah.
So he's wearing a shoes from hellfire. It's so hot that his brain is boiling. And this is the least punishment in the Day of Judgment. Least. He's getting the least punishment. Why? Because the Prophet did shafa'ah to him. So what's shafa'ah? Huh? What's the meaning of shafa'ah? Huh? Which is begging of Allah to start. Begging of Allah to ask for something special. Okay. Okay. Also, there is another shafa'ah, which is shafa'ah for the Prophet to get to Jannah. There is a door for Jannah on the right hand side. The very right hand side of Jannah, there is a door. This door is special for the people who go to Jannah without judgment. Go to Jannah without accountability. Go to Jannah without being audited. Without being audited, you understand? So people who have been so good that they go straight to Jannah. No judgment, no auditing, nothing. Just like the seed-selling categories, for example. Okay? Okay? About the righteous youth? About the righteous youth who are interested in to learn about this stuff? Huh? So you're following me? Okay. So there is a shafa'ah of for the people. Shafa'ah for the people. Who go to Jannah without any judgment or accountability. It is the Prophet does shafa'ah for them to open the right door of Jannah so that they can enter. Okay. Another shafa'ah. Another shafa'ah comes into getting people out of hellfire. Who are those people who are getting out of hellfire? You know the hellfire is how many levels?
100.
The hellfire have 7 levels. 7 levels. It has how many doors? 7 doors. Jannah has how many floors?
8.
It has 8 doors. But how many floors? so many, many floors. Some people say it's as much as the words in the Quran or the letters in the Quran. So by as much as you know Quran and practice Quran and you implement the Quran in your life, righteous Ruth, righteous youth, don't forget. Okay? Then you go to the level of this much Quran. Okay? So now the ones who practice know all Quran and practice all Quran, they become with the highest level. Go to the highest level of Jannah. Okay? So the hellfire, layer number one in the hellfire, is going to be dedicated for who? For bad Muslims. So bad Muslims are going to be where?
Hellfire.
Or bad believers. Like bad, they have worshipped Allah, but they have done a lot of bad things, sort of. So those go to the first layer of hell. Do you know that? They go to the first layer of hell. Now those who go to the first layer of hell, what happened to them? When Allah wants to get them out of hell, then He will open a door between them and the people of the second level and third level. And so the people of a different levels, lower levels, they tell the Muslims or the believers who are being in the first level of hell, they tell them, look at you. You have worshipped Allah. And you have not ate haram. Stayed away from haram food. You ate halal food. You didn't eat pork. And you read Quran. And you stayed away from things, many of the things that Allah doesn't like. But where are you now? You are where? With us. Where? In hell. Okay? So the people who say La ilaha illallah and believe in La ilaha illallah, but done bad deeds, they're going to pay off their bad deeds where? Where? In hell.
Murder.
Which layer in hell?
First
layer. Okay. So now if we go to the first layer of hell, and go ahead. Yes. And stay as much as Allah wants to pay off for their bad deeds. And then when Allah wants to get them out of Jannah, Allah will open that door, and the people who did not say La ilaha illallah are going to tell them, look at you, you have nothing, you are in hell with us, even though you said La ilaha illallah. So Allah will say, I swear by my glory, I will not make equal the ones who say La ilaha illallah with the ones who didn't say La ilaha illa Allah. Okay? I will not make equal the people who took partners with me, okay, and the people who did not take partners in me. So then Allah does shafa'a, and His shafa'a will take away all the people who say La ilaha illallah and send them away to Jannah. Okay?
So second level is those who didn't say La ilaha illallah?
Yeah. Second and lower. Second and lower, the ones who didn't believe in La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah in general. It doesn't have to be Muhammad Rasulullah, no. La ilaha illallah in general. Okay? So anybody who said La ilaha illallah, whether he said Muhammad Rasulullah or didn't, okay? Because before Prophet Muhammad there were lots of good people. Okay? So that is shafa'ah. Just imagine them are telling them, the bad guys in the second level and third level are telling them, your prayers didn't help you. You are here in hell. Your fasting didn't help you. You are here in hell. Your charity didn't help you. You're here in hell. You understand? So those people will have fasted, yes, have prayed, yes, but Allah did not accept their prayer or fasting for whatever wrong thing they have done. And the Day of Judgment would be doomed and enter the first layer of hell, which is the first floor or the first level of hell. And then, the first level deep in hell. So then, Allah will open the door between them and the bad guys. When Allah wants to get them out of hell, Allah opens the door between them and bad guys. 90 degrees rotation. Okay. All right. So that is the shafa'ah. There is another shafa'ah. Some people deserve to go to hell, which are kind of better than the ones who went to hell. They are due to go to hell for bad deeds they did. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will make shafa'ah, ask Allah to relieve them from hell. So ask Allah not to send them to hell. They are due to hell. Why? Because of many wrong things they have done. So they would beg Allah and say, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, don't send them to hell. And that's another kind of shafa'ah. There's another shafa'ah also. For those people who belong to certain level in Jannah, okay, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will make shafa'ah for them to go where? Higher level. So it's if your floor in Jannah is like the fifth floor, they make shafa'ah for Allah so that you go higher, like the tenth floor. You understand? So to raise your level in Jannah, okay, the shafa'ah has to be made to Allah to raise your level in Jannah. Let me ask you a very smart question. Only smart people will understand. What is that? Why shafa'ah? If Allah knew that those guys will get out of hell, why Allah wants somebody to make shafa'ah so that they go out of hell? Exactly. Why doesn't he just get them out of hell without shafa'ah? Yeah. If you're really smart, you will know. Why wouldn't Allah just get them out of hell without shafa'ah? Huh?
Nothing.
Huh? Huh? Allah knows he's going to get them out, right? After the shafa'ah, he's going to get them out. So why does he require a shafa'ah?
Prove that he's right.
Do what? To recognize Allah's mercy. To recognize Allah's mercy. I'll give you an example. If you're driving your car, and you were about to get into a bad car accident,
then what happened?
But you turn your car in the last minute to avoid the accident. You turn your car in the last minute to avoid the what?
Accident.
The accident. How would you feel? You would say, Alhamdulillah, I didn't get hit in this accident. You got it? Now, question. Didn't Allah know that? Didn't Allah know that? Leave the class. Didn't Allah know that He's going to save you from the car accident?
Yeah,
he knew that. So why then making it in such a way you were about to make an accident and then for the last minute you avoided, you were able to turn away from the accident? High five. To show His mercy. That's right. So, shafa'ah, the purpose of shafa'ah is for Allah to show His mercy. Another example. Remember when Prophet Muhammad went to heaven and Allah gave him 50 prayers? You remember that story?
Yeah.
And then what happens? He went down and Allah reduced them to 30. He went down, met Prophet Musa. Until at the very end, Allah said 5. And the ones who do the 5 will get the reward of the 50. All right? So now, question. Why did Allah make it in such a way? Why didn't Allah say, high five. That's right. So why Allah is accepting shafa'ah, or making shafa'ah happen, even though He knows.
You know,
those guys will not go to hell. Okay? They're due to hell. They should be going to hell, but they are not. So the question is, how come? Huh? To show mercy. You understand?
Yeah.
So we will say, Ya Allah, you're so merciful. You allowed this. Okay. Now there are conditions for people to make shafa'ah, and there are people who different shafa'ah. Just one example. You know, the people who, the person who knows Quran very well, he makes shafa'ah, Allah gives him the ability to make shafa'ah, is the privilege of making shafa'ah to, for 50, for 70 people from his family. So, if somebody knows Quran very well, shafa'ah, is it a right or privilege? It's a privilege. Allah will give this privilege to a person, for example, a person who memorized Quran, okay? And of course, memorized Quran and implemented Quran, okay? Allah will give him the ability to make shafa'ah in how many? 70 of his household. And I need to confirm that, is it 70 or? Oh, we'll get back to you next time.
We'll just say for a lot of family members.
Yeah. I'll find out. Mm-hmm.